Safety in following the mainstream way. Ego Commission 1 was of the belief that safety in numbers is the wisest way. Yet, what if the numbers are being misled? What if the numbers have lost their way? What if the numbers haven't got a map? What if the numbers are becoming brittle, non-resilient, prone to snap? Is it wise, then, to follow the numbers? Buddha, Jesus, Alexandria, Einstein, Fuller, Mandela, and other monumental leaders of human minds have each, at some crucial point in their lifetime, recognized that the numbers were heading astray. For it is the direction, the course, set in the intentional field of a mind that determines, directs, and steers the outward action of that person and thus of the collective person, the society. It was evident to these great seers, witnessed via the profuse of suffering in and around them, that the free wills of the masses in their own time were grossly misaligned from divine will. And so they each embarked on the most courageous decision of their entire lives. They began to listen in and chart their own trajectory. Listening in, an act of attuning inward to hear the voice and see the signs of God, the true way-shower to light, love, unity, and peace. Each of these and other great leaders contribute immeasurably to the turning of our collective tide. Though none have awakened all of humanity completely out of duality and into unity, each have played a vital and colossal advancing role in preparing us for the imminent and inclusive shift that we are now in. In what ways, subtle, culturally accepted, or not so obvious, are you playing it safe by following the numbers? When and how do you override your intuition, the still, small voice within, the voice that is endeavoring to guide you to make much wiser decisions? And when you do attune and trust and follow your intuition, where does it lead? We'll explore these questions fully and passionately in Chapter 4, Resensitizing Intuition. For now, ponder this. What is intuition? Take your time, pause, step back, inhale a deep, deep, luxurious breath, and ponder this. Letting in new light. Einstein, in his infinite and expansive, incredibly generous brilliance, recognized that in a system, energy is neither created nor lost. We'll explore systems in greater detail in the section Systems, Mobiles, Breaking Patterns, in Chapter 5, More Tools for Becoming Flexible. Earth, space, time is a system. According to Einstein's definition, it is closed, meaning that the inherent energy of which it was originally made cannot be added to, nor can it be detracted from. What this suggests is that, in the old paradigm, the one we're still essentially in, a system's original energy is the only energy to which it has direct access. If this is true, this is an inherent problem. For implied in it is this: no matter how passionately we continue to attempt to create meaningful change, we will never truly make a difference. That is, until we can access fresh, new, life-giving energy that invites us beyond what we have known. Perhaps it is we who need to invite this new energy in, a refreshingly robust new frequency from outside of our current Earth-space-time system. If so, at least three ways exist by which we might achieve this. One is to pierce the veil, to pop the balloon of this closed system of reality ever so slightly and invite in an exhilarating new consciousness. Another is to expand the system, stretching the balloon to allow more consciousness to enter into it. A third is to journey out beyond the system like a vision quester, a pioneer, a sage, a gallant explorer, and bring home into the system new consciousness, new awareness. These are design questions, design options relating to the new paradigm. If you are the designer, which do you choose? Creating a vacuum in our existing system, no matter how we do it, will draw in, quite literally, it will suck into it, new energy that has been formerly held at bay. Regardless of how we comprehend this, we need to lift the ceiling. Human consciousness has been locked in the basement, retained at the limit of using its brain, its phenomenal mental capacity, for the pinnacle achievement of reason-based thinking. Thinking is not enough. A new era of consciousness, accessed via intuition and insight, direct connection with God, are needed now to revive our flailing species and, consequentially, our dying planet. The ultimate reunion, healing our relationship with God. I am about to share with you a true account of a personal life-changing experience. I believe that, in our essence, we all have access to the same inherent truths. For whatever reason, some of us may have more frequent and perhaps seemingly more poignant moments of illumination. At the very least, I believe that we are given these gifts precisely so that we will share them with others. When I met God, one thing startled and surprised me. First of all, I had never expected or even consciously desired to meet God, Source, Creator, All. I wasn't even sure for myself that He, She existed or what, in reality, He, She was. But it all seemed quite normal in an odd sort of way when I found myself lured into seclusion to reconnect again with four of the nearest tiers of God energy. What surprised me is my four guides came to be of clearer resolution, and as each of them came to reveal their own distinct energy and personality, was that God seemed to me to be so sad. This puzzled me as it confounded me. I'd never been brought up with religious teachings and therefore had scant fluency in the way of religious notions, let alone doctrines, but wasn't God the Almighty supposed to be an angry, totally in control man? I did experience God as male in balance to my female energy, but the sadness. I asked Shakespeare's soul, another guide, why is God so sad? For I was aware of a most forlorn, painful mourning, and Shakespeare said, Lilla one, you will know in time. Months later, and my journey more familiar, it was all explained. The personal healing, which is taking place now for so many people around the world, it is synchronicity rather than coincidence that, like great sweeping tides, our memories are being unlocked, revealing abuse of power and pain in many people's pasts and healing it. This personal healing, while one is walking through it, may seem to be the most enormous flame that could exist. It is huge, like the wake behind a boat. This path is becoming easier for those who follow in the paths of pioneers. And yet this horizontal healing of our pasts and our long pasts, our past lives, is simply a model of practice and experience for the vertical healing, the healing of our relationship with God and with our fuller selves. For as the film dissolves and the veils of deception fall, pure God energy is beginning to reach us again. We are experiencing it in many ways, finite now and sweeping soon. The most obvious of these initial signals are the mass reconnection with our inner children and our more deeply conscious selves, the horizontaling of hierarchy and the return of accountability, our awakening to global crises and the interconnection of all things, and the beckoning call to return anew to community, to cooperation, and to hope. All of this is about trust. The challenge is about trust. Humankind in our state of limited memory has been deceived, abused, and abandoned in ever-increasing ways. It has been many years and many lives. As the veils are lifted and our trust anew is challenged, who will believe that the perpetrator was not God? Were we not taught that God created good and evil? What if this very teaching were the lie? Who would believe if God were another being, equal to us, and yet simply closer to multidimensionality, more whole and more alive? Will humankind walk through the healing, our so-perceived gods, to reunite? After all these years, it seems so far-fetched to be true.